You're listening to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor, powered by bbbgive.org. Here, we explore the motivations that form the basis of giving and service. We inspire generosity and celebrate the transformative effects that giving and service have on the human spirit and on community. The conversations featured on the podcast also uncover giving strategies that educate and provide tools to help listeners make impactful gifts of both their time and money. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast, powered by bbbgive.org. Give.org is the nation's standards-based charity evaluator, and it's your one-stop source for information on giving and reports on the most asked about charities. I'm Art Taylor, your host. And today is Veterans Day. At least when you hear this, we will be celebrating Veterans Day. And so I thought it was important for us on the Heart of Giving podcast to acknowledge that and to have with us a veteran. And we were able to get my friend Michael Lennington, who is the CEO of the Wounded Warrior Project, to come on and participate in the program today. And Michael has an illustrious career in the military. He's now retired, but he was a lieutenant general. He served as the commanding general for the Military District of Washington and commander at the Joint Force Headquarters National Capital Region. He also held general officer positions of responsibility, such as deputy commanding general at Fort Benning, Georgia, command of cadets at the United States Military Academy, West Point, and in Kabul, Afghanistan. And he also has combat experience, including the command of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, the 101st Airborne Division, which was in support of both Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom. Michael, welcome to the Heart of Giving podcast.
My pleasure to be here, Art. Thank you.
Well, Mike, you have the privilege of leading one of our premier organizations that is serving veterans. And you've had this opportunity now after being now a veteran yourself, after many years of service in our military. And the first question I have for you is, how meaningful is this to you to be able to transition from a career in the military where you were serving us to now this new form of service in a nonprofit sector?
Art, I'll just tell you, it's the greatest honor of my life, and thanks for having me on. Being in the military for 35 years, graduate from West Point. My wife's a West Point graduate. We were both in the military. Our son's in the military, still serving on active duty. We moved 23 times in 35 years. And leaving the military was a sad time for us. So continuing to serve in a veteran service organization that gives back to those that have made great sacrifice on behalf of our nation is a great honor and a privilege and something I take quite seriously.
Well, I'm sure you do. And I know you come across many people who you're able to help, and that commitment that you're bringing is surely appreciated. Mike, how is Wounded Warrior doing these days? I know you had to come over, you had to overcome a bit of a struggle there some years ago when you took over. How are things at the organization right now?
Art, we're doing very well. We're serving more wounded, ill, and injured service members, their families, and caregivers than ever before. In fact, we're still growing. In terms of the number we serve, we're growing 45 a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year that are reaching out to us asking for help. And that's how I measure success. I measure success in how many folks we're serving and what's the impact we're having on those we serve. And it's been a tough year and a half for our veterans. COVID restrictions that isolated those that are already isolating, and I mean primarily those that are struggling with the trauma of having been in combat, is a difficult thing. So we've had to shift our programs to virtual programming, and now we're back to doing largely in-person, 80% in-person, but 20% virtual, and reaching thousands and tens of thousands of wounded service members and family members every day in the programs we provide. So I'm grateful for the support of the American people, and I'm certainly grateful for the other partners in the VSO-MSO space that you serve.
Mike, as you mentioned, you served over 30 years in the military. One of the greatest sacrifices that I believe a person can make is to dedicate their lives to that kind of service. What was it in your upbringing, would you say, that sort of focused you on a career in the military? And you mentioned West Point. I'm sure that was a great opportunity for you as well. But what was it that sort of pointed you in the direction of serving our country in this way?
Art, I was one of six boys, six children, Reed and Jack Lennington from your neck of the woods there in Philadelphia. I moved to New Jersey, had six of us. One of my brothers was born with a pretty significant birth defect. So my parents sent five of us, the five healthy boys, if you will, to military high school. And I went to Valley Forge Military Academy in Wayne, Pennsylvania at West Point. And being in a military all-male high school, you can imagine it was a bit different than most folks going through high school. It offered an opportunity to go to one of the service academies. I took a test. I obviously did pretty well on the test. I got a nomination to West Point. West Point led to the Army, and the Army led to 35 years and amazing experiences. Met my wife at West Point. She graduated the year after I did in 1981. And we've been together now, married 44 years and together for 43 years. So it's kind of really just, you know, opportunities presenting themselves and me and we taking advantage of those opportunities and just continuing to serve. And for me, that's what it was about, taking off the uniform in 2015. For me, it was just a continuation of my service after I came out of uniform.
I wanted to mention Brenda Lennington, your wife, who, as you mentioned, was also a West Point graduate. It must have been a very difficult time for a woman at West Point then. How do you think she got through it and got through it so well? Maybe because she met you.
No, it was probably the opposite of meeting me. Art. She came from a military family, so she was tough as nails when she got to West Point, being one of 1,200 cadets in her class. Class of 81 was difficult. My class started with a little over 100 and graduated 60 women. So they were a very small minority at the academy. And the early days were really tough, as you can imagine. The decision to integrate the military academies to women in 1976 was a big decision. I think it was a smart decision. It was way overdue. And some of the finest women graduates in our country have come out of the service academies. But it was tough for the initial classes, class of 81, 80, and 82, and she was in that class. She actually helped inspire me to stay at West Point and graduate and stay in the military. I was thinking about leaving after my sophomore year, and she, you know, pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I really think you ought to stay." And short of marrying her, that was a pretty good decision.
I guess it was. I guess it was. And she's a terrific woman in her own right. She spent several years working with us at the Better Business Bureau, leading our program at the time called Military Line. And that program did a lot to help service veterans as well. And I know Brenda really engaged quite heavily in that program and got a lot from it. And we got a lot from her. It's good to hear that she's doing well. And we had a chance to mention that before the show started. And so make sure you give her our regards.
I will. Some of the best years of her life, she said, were right there, working with Better Business Bureau, Wise Giving Alliance, but mostly the Military Line, as you said, or leading the Military Line following Holly Petraeus into that role was a great honor for her.
It was indeed. As I said, we were so fortunate to have her. Now, Mike, as we talk about the Wounded Warrior Project, many people might like to know, what are some of the specific programs that you offer veterans? And what is your sort of brand of help that you give them at their time of need?
We are one of the largest, and I'll just say one of the most holistic veteran service organizations in the country. And we do a host of different things. We have an advocacy arm that advocates for legislative and policy change at the VA and DOD. But our bread and butter is really our programs that help warriors connect with each other after they've taken off the uniform, reestablish those bonds of camaraderie and cohesion that they enjoyed when they were in the military. And then once they make those connections, you know, really connect to other programs and services we provide and communities provide that help them heal mind, body, and spirit. And I say mind, body, and spirit because many of the wounded warriors we serve obviously have physical injuries from their time deployed. Most of our warriors have physical injuries, but a big majority of them also have invisible wounds. Signature wounds of war being post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. So Wounded Warrior Project really has the majority of our programs are in the areas of mental health and wellness. They are also done in a way that really helps veterans heal from the trauma they experienced when they were in uniform and in combat, certainly while they were deployed. And then we have a variety of other programs that help warriors regain some form of fitness, stay healthy, check their nutrition, work on resumes, jobs. We have an independence program for those that are most seriously injured that allow seriously wounded warriors to stay in their home where they're surrounded by loved ones and not being institutionalized. And then we have programs that help veterans give back, whether that's peer support groups, whether that's warrior leaders. A lot of our warriors just want to get engaged. So we have over 100 peer support group leaders that are run by wounded warriors, and we say they live the logo. When I say living the logo, you look at a picture of one warrior carrying another. At any one point in a wounded veteran's life, they're being carried off the battlefield or carried in their recovery. Our goal is to have them be the warrior on the bottom, carrying other warriors in their rehabilitation and recovery. And that's why our peer support groups, our warrior leaders, our other community events are so important. They all get involved and they do a tremendous job giving back to their brothers and sisters in arms.
Mike, you mentioned that this was a particularly tough time for military veterans. What was some of the big challenge that you saw this past year with COVID?
I will tell you right up front, the financial strain of COVID was a tough time for our warriors. We saw 112% increase in requests for emergency financial assistance. Wounded Warrior Project actually answered that call and responded to 11,000 families asking for donations or support. We gave $1,000 grants to 11,000 families, more than $11 million in support for emergency food, shelter, expenses, day-to-day activities. As I mentioned, the emotional support, the isolation that came with COVID, we saw a 61% increase in stress from being disconnected due to COVID. We had to shift to deliver our programs virtually. We delivered more than 5,000 virtual events, and we called almost 40,000 of our alumni just to check in on them and see how they were doing, especially those that were engaged in our mental health programs in the past. And not only in the areas of mental health and wellness, but we also saw an increase in physical stress. So conducting physical activity engagements through virtual offerings and then transition that into what we'd normally do with our soldier ride, our physical health and wellness coaching programs and our Project Odysseys and workout expos. That all really helped us end the year in a much more positive way than we were in the middle of COVID. So it was a good year. I mean, it was a good year. We touched more warriors than ever before. And certainly as we go into 2022, we hope that the effects of the vaccine continue to take hold. And we do hope we're on the downslide of this awful pandemic that's taken so many loved ones from all of our lives.
You know, Mike, serving in the military is sort of a unique way of giving back. And one of my earliest podcasts was with former general, retired general, Alfonso Lenhart. And I suspect you and Al know each other. But Al told me that one of the reasons he stayed in the military was that he actually enjoyed serving in that way, and that it just kept him connected because of what the mission was, and that so much of what he was doing was not about him. It was about the purpose for which he was serving. And I just wonder if we still see that today in the people who are entering the military. Is that still your sense that we have people entering the military today that had that same sense of purpose?
Art, I think that's spot on. In fact, I was just reading a DOD report the other day that the statistics of those that are serving in uniform today are staggeringly high when you think of previous family members that have served. And that sense of purpose that's instilled in young people in military families has inspired folks to serve. And I'll tell you, millennials writ large, I'm not a millennial, I'm a boomer, but my children are millennials. I think they're choosing their employment today more so with a purpose in mind than they are for financial compensation or quality of life or even comfort. Having a purpose, having a purposeful outcome in what you're doing, what you're dedicating your adult life to is really important among millennials and later generations. So I think that really helps military recruiting. It is today, as people see more than 20 years of war, the stress and strain on the military over the last 20 years has been profound, but yet the military and Department of Defense are doing a great job in meeting their recruiting goals. And I think that's because people want to make a difference in what they're doing. And for young people, we all know about the benefits of military life in terms of discipline and education and GI Bill and opportunities to travel and see the world and do things they would have never thought of before. But I think they also get a lot of satisfaction out of the sense of purpose that comes with protecting our country and keeping us free. And we know the numbers are small. I mean, we have a population of 330 million citizens today, and yet 1.2 million on active duty, another 800,000 or so in the Guard and Reserve. So we only have a military force of about 2.2 million from a population of 330 million. So it's just over one half of 1%. And that's pretty selective when you think about what it means to be a military service member today.
Well, you mentioned that you're a boomer. I'm a boomer too. And I know how much the world has changed since I began my career. And what's different today about the military than it was when you joined?
I would tell you, first of all, the technology of serving today is incredible. When I joined, our computers were a thing in the future. In fact, I remember my first Apple IIe when I was in Germany, and we had one little game and we could chat, and it was a big deal in the mid-80s. And we were a nation that wasn't at war. We were in the Cold War. Our focus was singularly on, you know, the Soviet Union, the Fold the Gap, fighting in Germany. We didn't have the challenges that our military have today. I mean, we didn't have the technical, just the technical advancements of our military weaponry and communications platforms and intel collection platforms and all of that. So our young people today are really incredibly talented. They've grown up in a tech-savvy world. They're very comfortable around technology. They're comfortable fighting outnumbered and winning. And they're really comfortable in environments of great uncertainty that we faced over the last 20 years. We were pretty set in who we were facing in the Gulf War and certainly in post 9/11 era. But people serving today that are deploying face a very uncertain environment, and they're used to thriving in those environments of uncertainty.
Yeah, I think that's a really important statement you made. I mean, the world in general has always been uncertain, but the level of uncertainty now is probably different than what we've ever seen. And one has to be very agile, I think, to really thrive in this world, and has to be comfortable to some extent with change and as you say, uncertainty. Mike, when you think about these young people and, you know, some not so young who've spent their careers in the military, I tend to think that there's nothing we can do that's enough to really thank them for what they've sacrificed. I mean, I look at you, someone who spent 30 years in the military, and you could have been chairman of board of General Motors or, you know, who knows what you might have been able to do with your life had it not been for the military. Now, you'll tell me, Art, I got a lot of benefit out of it, and you know, I met my wife and so forth. But I'm going to tell you that you can also do quite well in this country if you don't make that sacrifice. And so I want to make sure that people understand, first of all, regardless of how much fun you say you had, it was a sacrifice. And that, in my opinion, there is nothing that we could calculate that would be enough to repay you for what you've done. And so now that you're taking on this role as head of Wounded Warrior, how can we, as people who have benefited from all that sacrifice, help them, or help you help them, I should say? What can we do, Mike, to support the great efforts that you're making to help them, particularly the ones who need our help so much because of, as you're saying, mental and physical and emotional stresses that they've gone through?
Art, I would say, and I get that question a lot, I would say the first thing is get involved. Get involved. There's tons of ways to get involved in your community, in charitable organizations like ours, in supporting veteran service organizations, military service organizations, other nonprofit organizations. If you want to get involved in helping care for wounded warriors and their families and caregivers, in particular at Wounded Warrior Project, you can just go to our website at woundedwarriorproject.org, click the Get Involved button, and there's a variety of opportunities, whether it's volunteering at events, hosting community fundraisers, participating in events in the community, or just lending your voice to some of our advocacy priorities where we're seeking change on Capitol Hill or in Congress and among the VA and the DOD to help support military families. And that's what you've been doing your whole life at the BBB Wise Giving Alliance. And then I would just say, all of us today, I mean, I spoke about the numbers. Less than 1% of Americans are in uniform today. Only 19 million veterans in our community of 330 million. I just ask the 330 to reach out to the 19 million, not just during Veterans Week or Veterans Day, but every day, every week, every month. Make sure they're doing okay, especially our older veterans. As veterans age, you know, families move away. They sometimes don't realize how much we appreciate their service and sacrifice. So looking in on them, helping them out with a chore, occasionally spending time with them as they continue to age, I think that's all important. And looking for volunteer opportunities is a way that everybody can get involved other than supporting financially.
Well, yes, and the financial support matters too. I don't want to put that out there. But you know, Mike, when I think of, you know, we're going to try to air this tomorrow, which will be Veterans Day. And I wanted to just get your sense of what that day means to you and what it should mean to the rest of us. I mean, at Wounded Warrior, every day is Veterans Day.
That's right.
Every day is Veterans Day. But what should it mean to us? What should we think about? What should we carry with us when we see that day pop up on our calendar?
I think it's a day to honor all those through the history of our nation have served in the military and offering their life for something greater than themselves. When folks join the military, they ask very little in return. They're not guaranteed an assignment. They're not guaranteed a post. They're not guaranteed that they'll deploy. If they do deploy, they're not even guaranteed that they'll come home. So they ask very little. What they do ask is, if they don't come home, their families are cared for. And if they do come home wounded, both physically or with emotional wounds of war, that our nation will be there to help them heal. And that's what we do. That's what the VA does. That's what our government does. That's what nonprofit organizations all over the country do. And for me, that's what Veterans Day is all about. Veterans Day is about honoring the service and sacrifice of the tens of millions of people that have served in uniform over the years. And certainly on Veterans Day, to the 19 million American veterans that are among us, a day to reach out to them and thank them for their service. It mattered.
Yeah, it definitely mattered. And we want to make sure that everyone recognizes that and that they recognize that we care and that we're behind them in any way that we can be. Well, look, Mike, you know, we could probably talk for another hour or longer about the great work that you're doing there. But I wanted to just personally thank you for what you're doing and for restoring the credibility and respect for this great institution, Wounded Warrior Project, that you have by taking its reins now, I guess, 4 years ago, maybe a little bit longer.
More than five.
Almost, more than five. Yeah,
more than five.
More than five. And I teach a class, Mike, at Columbia University on ethics in the nonprofit sector. And I still, to this day, have to dispel so many of the myths about the organization because of that past. You know, organizations go through things, but then they fix it. And I can tell you that we have looked carefully at your organization, and what we have seen impresses us. And a lot of that has to do with your leadership and the systems that you've put in place to make sure that Wounded Warrior remains one of America's most regarded and trusted organizations. So I want people to know that. And I hope that that will also drive people to want to support your organization because of what you're doing in your leadership. So I just want to say that. I want to thank you again. And I couldn't be more happy for you, because I can see, you know, the joy that you have in finding your second career serving America through this great nonprofit organization, Wounded Warrior Project.
Art, thank you. You know, bad things happen to good people. And as you mentioned, what's reported isn't always what's true. In our case, that certainly wasn't. Well, that certainly was the case, but it's what you do with tough times that defines you. And we doubled down on what was always important at Wounded Warrior Project since 2003, that's serving wounded veterans, their families, and caregivers. And I'm proud of the work that our great team has done over the last 18 years in being there for those that have kept us free and protected our freedoms. So I'm happy to be where I am and doing what I'm doing. And certainly I don't do it alone. I do it with 750 other teammates at 25 locations around the country and thousands of events every day, every year that serve wounded, injured, and ill and their families. And it's a real honor to do what we do. And I sincerely appreciate the work that you do at the Wise Giving Alliance in terms of evaluating transparency and accountability among nonprofit organizations. That matters as well. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. And you've been listening to Michael Lennington, who is the CEO of the Wounded Warrior Project. This is the Heart of Giving podcast. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll listen to other episodes by just going to any of the major podcast platforms. You can also follow us and subscribe on Patreon if you want to make a donation, patreon.com. And also make a comment on, especially on Apple Podcasts. We would love to get a favorable review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps us to build audience. Thank you very much.
You've just listened to the Heart of Giving podcast with Art Taylor. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To listen to our other interviews, visit heartgiving.podbean.com. That's heartgiving.podbean.com. Subscribe to our show on major podcast platforms. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Podbean's Terms of Service.